Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Provincial State of Mind with myself, Owen Harrison, Jeff Neville, and Tom Savage. This is a podcast focused on all four Irish provincial sides in both the URC and European competitions. We discuss what happened the previous weekend, what we can expect from each province in upcoming games, as well as any major off-field news. So, just myself and Jeff to start off this evening. Tom may or may not join us. We'll have to wait and see whether he has his commitments to the pod or not.
I can't
But we have
talk
a.
there. Yeah, I wasn't on last week. Was I? No. Or was I? Was that like
No,
a
no.
six minutes or something, was it?
Yeah, you dropped in for the end. Yeah, just to
Yeah,
say hello.
loads of people got in touch to say they actually really enjoyed the last 6 minutes. So that was nice. I don't know why. Maybe there's something tangible there,
We'll have to have a look at the
but
statistical analysis of when listeners are coming in and out. Break it down properly.
so I can't slag Tom this week now, seeing as I missed last week.
Well, we've lots to discuss this week, so let's get on with the we'll start with the rugby more so than anything else.
Straight in.
Straight in, we keep going with it. Scarlets 20, Ulster 31. An important bonus point win for Ulster away to Scarlets, one that they badly needed, I think, to keep in the race.
Hugely, hugely. And it like even a win wouldn't have been good enough, I think, given Scarlets have the most porous defence in the league heading into that game. So I think once you looked at that first half, it was probably a first half that you would want to scream into a pillow, I think, if you were an Ulster fan. Chances wasted, like Scarlets going down to 13 there, a couple of minutes before half time, etc. Like you were probably screaming into a table or into a table. Sorry. I was about to talk about the league table, but you were probably screaming into a pillow at that stage watching it. But I mean, second half came out, and after McCluskey's try, then kind of things opened up, you know. You'd look at the Scarlets defense for that try and think, what the fuck are you doing? I think, to be honest, like he just poured through. No, like it was, don't get me wrong, great try, etc. Like, but like it, he scored it in second gear. And heading into that game, I think I mentioned on Twitter like that Scarlett had the worst points difference in terms of scored against them. What would you call that? Points against, in heading into that league or heading into that game. And I mean, that was case in point why. Like they still have the worst points difference in the league after that game, despite a huge, despite some big score lines that weekend. But yeah, like that was a game that the Scarlets were in at halftime, and then just allowed a try like that to happen. So I know I'm talking about Scarlets here rather than Ulster, but like if you're Scarlets, and is it Jared Payne who's the defence coach there? Like, I
Is
mean,
he's head coach now, isn't
or
he,
is he
after all the
head coach? Is
changes?
he? I'm sorry, I don't know, but if you're looking at that game and you're in it at halftime, which just on paper, just even from the season, how it's going, etc., you've no real right to be in it at halftime. And that's what you do in your first real defensive set at the second half. Like, I mean, fold up, go home. What's the point? But Ulster got what they needed. They can only play what's in front of them. McCluskey's try sparked it. Timoney's try off the back of a scrum then later on, etc., etc. Stockdale's for the bonus point later on. Happy days, job on, go home, focus on the next one. And they have a tough run in as well now, last two games, etc. But I mean, 5 points to start that pushes them up to sixth, gives them a small bit of breathing room in that top eight. Well, not really. I mean, if you look at five, six, seven, and eight, it's 50, 49, 48, 48. So not really a whole lot of breathing room, but I suppose from Connacht in ninth, they're 5 points ahead of them now. Connacht also have Leinster at away last game of the season with the Stormers at home this week, I believe. So, I mean, it gives them a nice little bit of breathing room there, just sees how they go. But yeah, it had to be 5 points for Ulster anyway. I think anything less would have been not a shambles. That's the wrong word I'm not looking for, but like 4 points or anything, like it just wouldn't have been good enough. Like
No.
with the opposition they would have had that day, let's say.
Exactly. I think they've given themselves enough breathing room there. There's only about two games left. and they're a game sort of outside the drop zone in for the top eight. You know, Connacht are on 44, Ulster on 49. They have that one game sort of safety net in there. So I think, you know, they've got to be thinking to themselves, one good result in the next two games, and Ulster can sort of breathe a lot easier, apart from they finish eighth and the Sharks win.
Yeah, that's the big worry point, is the Sharks in that Challenge Cup final Friday week. If they win that, suddenly you're looking at an unbelievable race to the top seven. So, like, of course, like, they finish top eight, they still get quarterfinals, etc., the URC, and then they go on to win the URC, etc., which makes life easier for them the following year. So you have a class race then for the top six, is it? No.
If you win the
URC, do you get automatic qualification for Champions Cup, or is it just top seven or top eight?
No, if you win it, you go through and the next person in line drops out.
So, I mean, technically, Ulster could finish eighth. Sharks could win, making it top seven. Ulster could win the URC, which makes it top six.
Yeah, and then whoever's, yeah, top six into it. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not saying I want that to happen, because I'd like Munster to win the URC, but I'd kind of like that to happen just for the crack, to be honest.
I think for Ulster, it's got to be that they've just got to get Champions Cup for next season. Financially, it's a must.
It's a huge must.
That's one of their biggest problems now, is they need to have that money. They need to be attractive to recruit players. And with Richie Murphy getting that 2-year deal, that's a big thing now that it's been finalized. And I think they can start going. They've obviously been engaging with players already, but I think it puts it into a sort of a better place that they can go out, discuss with them, talk about what their plans are for the next 2 years, where they're going with the game, and give a sort of something definitive to the prospects that they're approaching. And you would hope that Richie Murphy now has the time to go and rebuild the squad as he needs to attract that. What I think he will do is look for that young talent coming in. Number one, because he needs greater depth within the squad, but he also needs to be able to do it on the cheap. And that seems the easiest way to do it, is to try and attract young players with lots of potential up to Ulster and sell them the fact, look, this is a rebuild. You can be in on the ground level. You can be part of this. We can get you game time earlier than you would elsewhere. And I think that's got to be his big selling point.
It's also in terms of, you mentioned the word attraction there. A Champions Cup team is a lot more attractive when you're looking to get these players in, etc. And if you have a young guy who is under 20s, maybe, and he's looking at Munster, he's looking at maybe Leinster, etc., and you say, listen, we have Champions Cup, etc., we've big plans for you, etc., etc., Champions Cup is a big selling point there as well.
Yeah. And yeah, I'd like to see Ulster qualify for the knockouts. I'd like to think that they can start that, because I think if they don't qualify, that puts them back a year in their development.
Yeah. In terms of the game against Leinster, will we just talk about that after the Leinster game?
Yeah, we'll probably talk about that. Yeah, so let's go straight then to the Leinster game.
Oh, that worked well.
Yeah, we'll go straight to the Leinster game against the Ospreys. Leinster won that 61-14. Bit of a paddling for the Ospreys.
Smoked them. And I wouldn't say that I thought maybe Ospreys could have a sneak attack there, but as a caveat, I will say that was before Leinster named a ridiculous team. I thought they wouldn't go as strong as they did, etc., etc. They went stronger, and ultimately just smoked the Ospreys, and did themselves a big favour with that points difference, because they now have the best points difference in the league. They're only a point behind Glasgow. So, I mean, they're away to Ulster this weekend. Glasgow are in South Africa,
yeah.
That'll be tough. If they can get a win and Glasgow don't, or even if Glasgow get 2 points, etc., maybe a draw, maybe a try bonus point loss with, you know, before seven, whatever it might be. But Leinster get a win, 4 points. Glasgow don't. Leinster go back to first with the final home, or with the final game being Connacht at home, to finish off first, which gives you a home final if you get that far. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was questioning why would Leinster give up first place, but credit to them, they're getting it back.
They are. Now, look, that game against the Lions for Glasgow, that's a big one. They got the two bonus points against the Bulls, which pulls them right back into it. I think that was an added bonus. If they can get anything out of that Lions game, that puts it up to Leinster. But, I mean, for Leinster, and to be fair to the Ospreys, they stuck at it. They kept in it. They were in there for sort of till halftime, just after halftime. And it was, what was it, 7 points going in at halftime? There was a difference on it.
Yeah, it was tight, yeah.
And then, to me, and I think this probably signals some of the things for Leinster overall, Gibson Park comes on and it just steps up a level. And I think it's not just Gibson Park coming on, but I think it shows the difference in quality. But you look, the Ospreys, they're playing a different game, different budget in terms of their squad and where they are compared to Leinster. And Leinster, as you said, came pretty much fully loaded.
In terms of playing minutes as well, Squidge Rugby had a very good fact. I don't know if you saw it, that leading into that game, the Ospreys had 10 players on 1,000 plus minutes, whereas Leinster had two. Ospreys had 15 players on 800 plus minutes, whereas Leinster had five. So that is, like, you have to include facts like that as well. It's not just about who it was on paper, but it's also about, you know, how bad is their engine burning heading into that game too.
Yeah, and it shows, look, the benefits of the Irish system, that you can have someone like James Lowe, who's played 80 minutes in the URC this season. You know, that's coming into that game. That's massive, like.
Yeah, caveat now, in fairness, Lowe was injured for quite some time.
Yeah. He was, but I mean, like, at the same time, he was also given, he was given extended leave after the World Cup and things like that, that were there, that are allowable within the Irish system, that when you're working on a reduced budget, you can't necessarily send one of your, like, Ospreys are potentially on, what, maybe close to a third, 40% of what Leinster's budget reportedly is. You can't go and let someone go off for two thirds of the season. If they're fit, they have to come back and play. And I think for Leinster, it's one of the benefits that they have around the central contracts and things like that, that is there, and it's theirs to use. They've earned it. As I was saying earlier on, though, with someone, for me, the big difference between those, this happening, was you could see Ospreys fading, but you could also see that when Leinster emptied the bench, there was a clear gap in the quality of those that were doing it. Like, and to me, Gibson Park is having a fantastic season, was a big indicator of that. And I think I would be worried for Leinster if he was to get injured, because I think the quality of halfbacks that Leinster have, if he's not available, that dip is huge from what they have available at both nine and the impact it has on 10 within their system.
It's, yeah, listen, I mean, you look at the budget as well. Is it going down to 3.5 million or something like that next year for the...
4.5, I think it is.
4.5, yeah. Like, I mean, the Welsh teams are in a bit of a hole at the moment. Not that they've dug themselves into it. And in fairness to the Ospreys heading into that game, and I still maintain they're having a decent season given what they're working with. But Leinster were just very good. Do you see, after Frawley took the last conversion, he's running back and he's saying, you know, keep going, another score. It's very much a case of stop, stop, they're already dead. But it's the points difference. That's essentially what it comes down to there. And you look at that, again, you look at Leinster, we said, if they get a win at the weekend, Glasgow don't, Leinster go top. Like that chase, we mentioned there, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, there's only 2 points between them. There's only 2 points between first, second and third as well. So that run in here, it's glorious. And what kills me is that I truly believe Munster could get to first, but there's just too much I mean, if you look at Glasgow, for example, if they got 2 points here, got to 62, they've celebrated last game of the season at home. Like, that's 5 points straight away. And you look to Rack, and like, all credit to Zebre, all respect to Zebre, but like, that's 5 points at home, and you're going to look to absolutely run up that score as well for that points difference, just in case that makes a difference. So again, Munster 20 points behind Glasgow on a score difference. So it's just, it might prove just a bit too much maybe to get to first, but even if they could manage second, a home semi-final would be unbelievable as well if Munster got that far. If they could manage to get second and win that quarter as well. So it's just such a good running. I'm going to end up saying that now several times. But if you want a league where every game is suddenly important outside, well, maybe outside 10th now that Ospreys have dropped that game. But like, you look at 10th, the Lions on 44 points. Again, they're just a win away from jumping up to 8th. Maybe even 6th. So it's an unbelievable running to the end of this, to the end of this season. And if you are a URC organizer, I was only thinking this the last day. Like, you look at the first season, everyone's like, oh, Leinster gonna win, blah blah blah, Stormers win. You look at the following season, okay, Munster win after going on the road for a number of games, etc. You're now into the third season, and you have a run-in where the top 10 teams out of 16, like the top 10 teams, are still pushing. There's nobody real comfortable. And like, you could say like, okay, yeah, Glasgow, sure, they're in the knockouts. Yeah, they are. But are they going to have a home semi-final if they get that far? Or is it going to be Leinster? Is it going to be Munster, etc.? Like, if you are a URC organizer, you must be absolutely chuffed to bits. Or let's say the powers that be, not even in, like, in the, you know, the organizing side of things, but like, if you're involved at all in the URC, you must be absolutely chuffed to bits with the way this league is just going from strength to strength and has been so competitive. And a big part of that, don't get me wrong, is the South African teams as well. Like, there's two of them in the top 8. But, I mean, there's a Scottish team in the top 8. There's only 3 provinces in the top 8. There's an Italian team. There's 2 Scottish teams. There's 2 South African teams. Like, this is exactly what you want from a league. It's to have that diversity in the top 8, and to make it that, like, let's say Connacht now this weekend, if they can get a win, etc., a big bonus point win, it'll be interesting to see if they can, don't get me wrong. Munster away to Edinburgh, I'd hope Munster beat them, etc. But like, I mean, if Connacht can get 5 points and Munster keep Edinburgh away from nothing, suddenly Connacht leapfrog Edinburgh, and all the talk of, is it too much for Connacht to finish top 8, is suddenly, Jesus Christ, they actually might do it. It's just I'll stop ranting now, sorry, but it's just an unbelievable run into the end of the season. I don't even know, was there a question before that? I think I just went off on one.
in terms of the table, I think the two South African teams are the ones that will, for me, will be one of the more interesting ones, because one of them, I think, is likely to finish in the top 4 at least.
Yeah, probably the Bulls, I'd say.
Yeah, the Bulls have 2 games in South Africa. I think they've won at home against Benetton
coming up this weekend.
And then they play the Sharks away
for
their last game, right? So they've 2 games in South Africa. That puts them in a situation whereby they'll have a home quarterfinal.
Yeah.
And someone has to travel.
Would it be 1st v. 8th, 2nd v. 7th, etc., would it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, essentially, you're looking at the Stormers at the moment,
as it stands. But if that Ulster changes to a European team, then that becomes a much different prospect.
It becomes a real ball ache, is what it becomes. Not a prospect, it becomes a real ball ache for that team to go the whole way down to South Africa.
That's it. And that's why having that fight for the top 2 becomes really important, because it's, you guarantee your home quarterfinal, your home semifinal, if you get that far. And then it's the travel that will kill, I think, in those games. It's like, if you have to go to South Africa and then back up for the next week for the next game, that's even if you win in South Africa, it's the travel up and back, or even up, that will have a big impact on the say of where this goes for the title this year. And that's before you get into the battle of who's going to sneak in for a 7th or 8th and into the Champions Cup spots.
Yeah. Oh, it's an unbelievable running. Like, I actually found myself last weekend just keeping an eye on scores to see where the table was going, not even to see how the matches were going, but just actually, how does this affect the table? And I wouldn't be one for that. I'm usually just a wait and see kind of man. But yeah, it's probably enough about the table now for the moment, because I will probably go on another rant in a little while. But Leinster Connacht this weekend, you have the likes of Keenan back, James Ryan back.
In contention, yeah. It looks like Gary Ringrose will miss out.
Leinster Ulster. Sorry. Yeah.
Leinster Ulster. Well, Ulster Leinster, because it's in Belfast on Saturday night.
I'm going to take another run at that. So yeah, you have Ulster Leinster this weekend. You have James Ryan back. You have Hugo Keenan back. It's probably not what Ulster fans want to hear.
It's also, I think Leo Cullen has said that he is going to go heavy or go strong for this game as well. That he sees it as a build up. So for the Champions Cup. So he's gonna go strong in this. If he puts out a similar team to last week that they had against the Ospreys, that becomes a very daunting fact for Ulster. And like, Ulster are missing quite a few players. They have Ian Henderson, James Hume, Luke Marshall, Rob Balakoon, Marty Moore, Jake Flannery, Ben Moxham all out. Tom O'Toole and Sean Raffel are both doubtful. That's a lot of guys missing, and particularly for a team who, while the attack has started to click a bit, their defence has looked iffy throughout sort of the last month or two. That's not where you want to be going with Leinster coming to town.
No, I think that it's going to be, I think it's going to be a Leinster win, to be honest. And I think now that I saw what they did team-wise against the Ospreys, and I know Cullen said that, like, we're not going to go light again. I think they will go heavy, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what team they name, considering the following week they have a Champions Cup final. Are you going to go full bore there?
They can. They can afford to, because they've taken the previous 3 weeks off for the majority of this team. Like, the majority of that team did not travel to South Africa.
True, actually. Yeah, that's fair.
Right? So they've had 3 weeks. Right? The week before the game in South Africa, the 2 weekends there, and then they had a prep. They've had the prep for the Ospreys game. So this is their first game. I think they've got a run coming on whether what they do on this. I think they will sort of rotate using the bench maybe a bit more. Do you start Gibson Park and then take him off after, you know, 45, 50 minutes? Same with Porter. Do you bench him or do you start him? Those sort of things. They can make sort of, I suppose, decisions on that based on minutes played, things like that, you know, workload that they need. But I think they have a free hand to pick at this. And to me, that spells bad news for Ulster.
Yeah. I can't, like, with all due respect, I just can't see Ulster pulling this one out of the fire.
I don't. Strangely enough, the bookies have Ulster as 1-point favourites for this game so far, before the teams are named, which doesn't really register in my head as logical.
Like, the other side of the coin is, like, Leinster have to win this heading into next week or the following week. Like, heading into a Champions Cup final, the last thing you want is to lose an Interpro the weekend before and have that kind of suck the air out of the tires a little bit. Like, you have to keep the ball rolling. Like,
I think you do. I think you need continuity. I think what would be worse is I think the worst scenario for Ulster in this is that players start to mind themselves ahead of the final and pick up injuries.
They are only human as well at the end of the day. And that Keane Healy injury before the World Cup, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, you're yeah. Like, you look at the nailed on starters, like your Porter, your Sheehan, your Furlong. You can name 14 out of 15. Like, you know, you would probably disagree on one somewhere, but like, they're all nailed on for a Heineken Cup final the following weekend. Do you want to get injured away to Ulster the weekend before? Like it's a tough place to be as well.
And it's mentally, a lot of it, I'd say, is subconscious.
Yeah. Are you gonna like play around in the ruck maybe the way that you usually would, or are you gonna, you know, just little things that are you gonna tempt fate, I suppose, by hitting things maybe a little bit harder than you would, or a little bit softer, I suppose, than you usually would. I don't know. But anyway, I'm tipping a Leinster win for this weekend anyway as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Leinster on this. I think they'll have too much quality for Ulster. And Ulster's defence recently is just, it hasn't been good enough. So I think they'll cause Leinster problems. I think Billy Burns playing on the gain line with his kicking ability. Fabulous player.
Just to mention the return of Jimmy O'Brien. Fabulous game.
Fabulous player.
Fabulous.
I think his skill set, particularly against that rush defense, will cause problems along with Stuart McCluskey, who was virtually unplayable at times against the Scarlets.
Yeah. He is such a good player. If you remove him from Ulster, and an awful lot goes wrong, I think.
Well, I mean, it's one of these, it's like, what was it, Ron O'Gara used to say about David Wallace, used to just sit on his shoulder, you know, and in attack, and you know, doesn't matter who's coming at you, just pop the ball off and you give it to him and suddenly he's 5 yards, 10 yards forward. Yeah. That's the same with McCluskey. It's you just sit there, you pop the pass and he's gone.
Bit like Nankivell as well, actually. I don't think I've ever seen him go backwards in a carry.
McCluskey is more direct and takes it into context.
A different player, I know that.
It's Nankivell's footwork that just, is amazing.
Munster Connacht.
A game a little bit closer than the scoreline probably suggests. Munster 47, Connacht 12. Similar to the Leinster Ospreys game, it was close enough till half time, and then injuries and I think quality off the bench made a huge difference for Munster to open up that lead.
Massive. Someone asked me, did I think O'Brien wasn't the right fit for the centre in comparison to, let's say, what Frisch brings, etc. But what I'd say to that is that's only a second game starting at centre of the season. He was on the wing for, I don't know how many games he's played, but every other game bar two, he's been on the wing. So I'd say give that time. Nankivell again was unbelievable. Like, he's such a good player. But I liked what Munster did. Like, I mean, they shaped up to kick to touch. Do you remember after 5 meter, kick to touch and decided to tap and go? Well, not decided, like, but it was pre-planned. I think just the breakdown was probably too slow, which is what made them not score off that, I think, more than anything. They weren't going to score off first phase, but maybe second or third, or maybe third or fourth, I should say, would have been where it happened. But just, I think the breakdown was a bit too slow. But it was good to see the invention, like, you know, and it was good to see the curiosity in trying these things out. I think that Connacht's defense was better than it led on at times. You said it was a closer game. I do think it was a closer game. I know it ran away with it at the end, like, but you look at a Hearn score. Should he have finished that? Probably not. I think, was it Farrell who put in that last attempt tackle? Far too high, etc. Like, what are you hoping to achieve there? Should he have scored that one? Probably not. He had no real right to score. Brilliant finish, don't get me wrong. But you take that away, you take away, was it Carberry? Did he score the last one? Or second last one, maybe?
He got one there towards the end, And Conor Murray got one then.
Conor Murray's one as well. Like, I mean, they were all in quite quick succession. And maybe put a bit of a glass on the scoreline, but it was well taken tries. Don't get me wrong. You actually sent me. I actually put something on Instagram there. It was the strike play that was it Nash scored off, and I asked what people thought of the defense, etc. It was just funny to get so many different answers. That was actually because of you sending it to us, asking what you thought of it, and I was like, just because what I said and what Tom said, I was like, geez, I wonder how many different answers we could get here. But I'd say I got maybe 60 answers and only two people mentioned the scrum wheel at the start. And I was like, justice for the scrum, please. Because it just tucked away the seven nicely. But No, Munster were good. There was two quotes that stuck out to me kind of watching it. Well, one quote that stuck out watching it and one I just heard there literally about 8 minutes ago when someone texted. But the first one, when the lad said it to me before, he's from Galway and he said, being a Connacht fan is one of the most character building experiences of his life. which I thought was a fabulous line. And then Dylan Carlos, he just DM'd on Instagram there about the defensive thing as well. And he said, and I quote, I'm a jaded Connacht supporter. We seem to be building to a future that never comes. And I thought that was a very good way of putting that as well. Constantly building. But
I would actually think Connacht are building something, but I think they have.
I'm going to pull you up on this, right? We're 100 and something episodes into this bike. I don't know how many. We're doing it maybe 2 years. You've genuinely been saying Connacht are building for 2 odd years, but like, to what end? Like, when is it going to be built?
I think you're looking at 4 to 5 years. I honestly think it's that long a project, because Connacht don't have the demographic, they don't have the numbers coming through to do it. They're working on the basis that you try and sign guys from, like, even, you know, they took two from the Leinster Academy system there during the week. I can't think of the names of the two guys now offhand. But like, they're working on,
and one was a nine, wasn't he? What's his name?
And the other was a prop.
Yeah, I know who you're on about.
Lassisi, is it? Or it was,
was it Ben Murphy was the other guy?
Ben Murphy, yes, yeah. They're the two. But like, I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to get guys like Prendergast who came across. You're trying to add then to guys like
your Moneyball.
Yeah, you're trying to Moneyball it effectively. Yeah. You're trying to get and add it to the likes of the Cahill forwards, the Murray brothers, and those that are coming through. But you don't have the demographics that you're going to get two guys that are going to come into that first team every season. That's added from the academy. That just doesn't happen. So you're hoping that by getting that smattering, you can pick out one or two extra from it. But I think they have enough young talent coming through but it's going to take 4 to 5 years for that to mature. The problem is that they're going to lose guys through age, like Bundiaki. They're going to have to try and replace him. And they need a bit more bulk. They need to do something in terms of their game plan. I was really disappointed with their game plan on Saturday against Munster. I felt they looked at Munster from pre-South Africa, sort of when Munster had all their injuries. And it almost looked to me like Connacht's game plan was fight it out, stay in the fight, get physical up to 50, 60 minutes, and then we can take them in the last quarter. They'll tire. And I just didn't see anything beyond that. Bundiaki was barely in the game. I thought Munster managed him really well in terms of Munster kept the ball. They kept it away from Aki. He was there in defence and things like that. But he was a non-part of the game, pretty much, for the entire thing. Jack Carty he showed one or two really good touches in terms of his passing skills. But overall, his kicking from hand and his game management, I thought, was poor enough. Hanrahan was a big miss out for Connacht there.
It's funny, you took the words out of my mouth. You'd notice Hanrahan wasn't on the pitch, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And look, JJ is a really good, really, really good player. And he maybe doesn't have the consistency or didn't have the consistency to play at, you know, some of the top level clubs that he was at previously. But I think for Connacht, he's a really good fit. He runs that system well. He adds value to the ball when he's passing it through and moving that on. Better game management. His kicking is very consistent. And he moves that around for them. He was a big miss for them, as was Buckley in the scrum and Keane Prendergast in the back row. So, like, there are things there, but I think overall, losing Andy Friend, I think, is a big deal for Connacht. And what needs to come now from Wilkins and his team that he has set up there, I think, or sorry, and not only him, the forward coach, Dual Senecal, is another big, big loss for them. I don't think they have been as good in the forwards this year as they have been. And I think we need to see more from what Wilkins and his setup are looking to do with Connacht. What is, like, it's thrown around, it's a word that's thrown around an awful lot, but what is their identity? What are they trying to do?
Yeah.
Because when Munster held onto that ball, Munster literally played on ball rugby for that entire game, and Connacht didn't seem to have an answer to it. They were kicking the ball back to Munster an awful lot, and Munster just held it. And then they couldn't get the territory. They couldn't get out of where their own half. They didn't have a plan B to work that through. And that's what needs to be seen, I think, more from Wilkins and the team.
It's funny, like, I think that narrative that Connacht kick a lot, I think it was very true last year, but it's certainly not true anymore. Like, if you look at the number of kicks from hand they've made, they're second last in terms of the number of kicks from hand during ball and play. Like, you know, they don't kick that much either, or they don't kick that far anymore really either. Like, I mean, there's only five teams who've kicked fewer meters than them as well. So, like, I don't think they have the power to implement the running game plan they want. Like, Joe Joyce has been brilliant. He's been an absolute brilliant signing for Connacht. He's playing like a real top level lock as well. But I just don't think they have the constant muscle to do what they want. If you're not going to kick the ball, you need to be winning game line. It's as simple as that. Like, and they're not. And ultimately, I think it's costing them in the long run. But yeah, anyway, listen, if you're a Munster fan, you're laughing. A lovely sunny day in Thomond Park. Absolutely would have loved to have been there. But such is life.
Munster played some lovely rugby. They had that strike play from Nash. The back line got lots of ball. Jack O'Donoghue has been very impressive in the last few weeks. I think he was top of the carries and pretty much close to top of the tackles. And he's one of these guys, he's been playing number eight there for the last few weeks. And he doesn't have the same power as Coombs, but he has a lot more acceleration into his game, into his carry, I think. So it gives him that little bit of difference. And then once you're able to bring someone like a power player off Coombs, like Coombs off the bench after 50, 55 minutes.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
That is, like, that must be a nightmare as an opposition player. You're going, all right, this lad's been running at me and, you know, all day long. And now it's like, oh, crap, here comes Gavin Coombs.
But, like, Coombs, Jaeger, like, that kind of size coming at you, like, what a nightmare. Like, well, I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be doing it. I'd have a pulled hamstring. But Connacht, Stormers at home this weekend.
Stormers sent a very strong team, I think, up north for this tour. They beat the Dragons, but they didn't do it convincingly.
Yeah, there was a time I thought maybe the Dragons might pull that one out of the fire, but
your favorite Welsh team, obviously.
I love the Dragons, but I said I'd watch them this season. I genuinely would say I've seen three games, and they were provincial games. Like, that's the only reason I've seen.
Going to say they were the 7-minute highlights that are available on URC TV or something.
No, it wasn't even against non-Irish opposition, like. But again, I don't know what I was thinking. I knew life was about to get very busy, so I don't know why I decided I would do something like that. It didn't happen anyway. But the Stormers at home. It's a strong Stormers side. Again, could they push for fourth place? I think they could. They're not playing for anything either. I think they'll be a lot more physical than Connacht will have to be. I think I'm going to go for a Stormers win.
I haven't seen an injury update from Connacht yet. So that in itself makes it difficult. If Connacht are missing the likes of Hanrahan, Mac Hansen potentially out, still out, Buckley, Prendergast, if they're missing those guys still.
Buckley for the scrum too.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I think favors it more towards Stormers for me. Stormers will want to be pushing for a top four. They'll want at least one of their knockout games at home.
Yeah.
And we'll be trying to as much as possible to do that. So they have a lot to play. Connacht, if they lose this one.
I think if they lose this one, they've screwed the pooch.
Yeah. I think Connacht have to win their last two games, I think, to play Champions Cup rugby next season.
Yeah. And especially when you consider they're fighting the likes of Edinburgh, who have Munster at home this weekend, etc. They're fighting against Benetton, who are away in South Africa this weekend. So, like, I mean, if they
this is their chance to make up the ground.
This is the one, yeah. I think 100% this is the one, considering what they have last game at home. Last game in Dublin, I should say. Again, that last game in Dublin, you have, if Leinster win. Are they on the beer? If Leinster lose, it could go either way. It could go either way. But yeah, I think this is their weekend. It's shit or bust, as they say. I think I am going to go with a Stormers win.
I'm going to follow you on that one. I think the Stormers will have too much for them, and I think this could be a sour ending to Connacht's season.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully not, but we'll see. And finally, Munster, Edinburgh.
Yeah, Munster
Edinburgh Munster. Sorry, I made that mistake
Edinburgh,
earlier.
Munster. What is it? Edinburgh have won 7 of their 8 home games, I think it is.
Yeah,
they've been very good at home. They've Ben Healy, who has played, I think, every minute of every URC game so far.
Really?
I think he has some ridiculous stat like that.
Oh, I'm going to look that up right now. You keep talking there for a second.
Yeah, like as I said, like they have won 7 of their 8. They're very impressive at home. Ben Healy, who is, as I said, has played a ridiculous amount of URC time. I think it's every minute so far.
He's played in round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And he has played, no way, 80
minutes in all.
Against Zebre in round 16, he played 76 minutes.
Oh, it was last week I heard that. Four minutes he got pulled up on for the last.
That's insane. Surely nobody has played more than him in the URC this season.
No, I don't think so. He was top of the stats that I'd seen there. It must have been last week then.
That is like that. Incredible.
Oh, he also has like most points and things like that, because obviously he's playing a lot of minutes. But also it's one of the differences, I think, between Edinburgh and a lot of other teams is the way they approach it, in terms of they're willing to take the 3 points, build the lead.
Yeah.
And he has approach the boot. It that way.
He has the boot to do it.
Exactly. So I think Edinburgh will cause Munster a problem, but I think Munster have enough of their players back to be able to control this Edinburgh team that if Munster have, and they do have serious consideration towards going out and retaining their URC title, they should be looking to win this.
Yeah.
So I think Munster will win it. Whether they can get a bonus point try, I don't know, but I would be looking for them to pick up 4 points at least in this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a Munster win as well. Edinburgh will be tough. Edinburgh very pragmatic with flashes of flair, but I think if Munster approach it in the same way they have the last number of games, power off the bench, etc., etc., I don't see why it couldn't be one more.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's it. Tom never bothered showing up, so we don't really have
classic. Classic Tom. Yeah,
that is classic Tom sandwich.
I showed up at least for 6 minutes last week.
Exactly. Tom just doesn't care about the listeners anymore.
Just got to show you care sometimes, you know?
Yeah. You know, just give that little arm around the shoulder.
Probably also the shortest episode I'd say we've ever done as well.
Yeah, well, I'm dying with a sinus infection, so that's not a bad thing either. And apologies to any listeners that have heard me sniffling and coughing in the background there. So we'll round it up there, folks. Thank you very much for listening to our ramblings and for supporting the podcast. please do rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to, as it really helps. And also be sure to share the podcast on social media. Hope you have a good week, and at least two of us will be back next week to chat again.